Welcome to episode 1145 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, September 12th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider or just PayPal.me/GeekNews. You always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Got a great show for you lined up tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about how the OPM totally blew it. You're going to be shocked on how much they actually didn't spend on security. We're going to talk about being a day late and a dollar short on the Icon. Yes, I can, excuse me. And Ted Cruz trying to shut that down. We're going to talk about new robot voices, and we're going to talk about Netflix and going to war over data caps. So go end that, of course, and a lot more. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana. Of course, if you are not aware of what the word Ohana means family. I live here in Honolulu, Hawaii, and we're all about family, and I've been having a lot of family stuff going on, real relative family stuff going on. But you guys are part of the extended Ohana, part of the family here. So thanks for tuning in. If you're a brand new listener to the show, thanks for checking the show out. We want you to add this show to your library of podcasts that you listen to. So in order really to do that, it's real easy to get connected with the show. And if I can bring up the right screen for you, for those of you that are watching, here we go. You can just go over to geeknewscentral.com, and on the right-hand column of the website, plenty of options to subscribe via iTunes, Android, email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or just a standard RSS feed. Of course, we're live streaming the show in a loop via Geek News Central Radio, too, on a variety of different platforms, so you'll be able to really get the show nearly any place that you are, where you have access to an internet connection or not. That's the important thing about podcasting. You take the show with you on the go, and you do that by subscribing to the show, of course. And, of course, we want you to get signed up for the newsletter while you're on the website. The newsletter really has, it's basically an email blast. It contains all the links for all the things I'm going to talk about today. It's not a big spam. I'm not trying to get your business. I'm not trying to get you ad. We don't sell your name to anybody on a list or anything like that. So just get your email address added to the newsletter, and then you just get the email blast with the show notes. Of course, visit Geek News Central daily to read the great content being put up there by my writing team, and lots of great content on a daily basis. Putting up everything we put up on Geek News Central's original content. There's nothing, I get daily people asking to pay to play to on the website because we get such a huge amount of traffic. And my answer to them is always no. If you want to play, you become a sponsor of the podcast. And when they ask how much, and I tell them that's usually the last time I hear from them. But you get over there and read the great content on the website. Of course, you can reach me directly, geeknews@gmail.com. You can reach me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, if you're not in our Slack channel, send an email to get added to the Slack channel. You can follow on Google Plus or Facebook. You can watch the show on the Roku or Apple TV. Via the Roku, just load the Tech Podcast app, and there's a lot of great tech shows. I think we're up to 140-some active shows over at techpodcast.com. So definitely check all the shows out over there. And then, of course, we've got available to listen to the show on the Amazon Echo, Stitcher, on Blueberry, really anywhere podcasts are. Don't forget about our partner shows. Our partner shows are fantastic and make up a core of content at Geek News Central. New media show, this past weekend I had Daniel J. Lewis on, and he co-hosted while Rob was at Podcast Mid-Atlantic, and we talked about a topic that literally I spent a lot of time and money on to work to get to. So I'll talk just a little bit about that tonight. The Pro Gear site talks about all the different types of pro gear. We actively are updating that site on a weekly basis with new information about pro audio and video gear. Of course, we got the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, and he just covered the Amazon Tap and a variety of other products and services on the Gadget Professor number 267. We've got Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. and of course the Podcast Legends Show. There was no recording of the Podcast Legends Show this previous weekend. I had my guests cancel on me because it was going to be Don and Drew, but his wife, Drew, was not feeling well. So we'll push it off and get them a little bit later in the week so we can get an episode up. So lots of content at the website, punching off from geekandcentral.com. So definitely check that out. Of course, this show again is designed and built for you. But more importantly, and what has kept this show humming along for many, many years is our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. You want to definitely get over to geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy. And on that page will just essentially be your guide to saving cash. Whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a 99-cent.com, whether it be a website builder, a 30-day trial of a website builder with some consulting for a free month, whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting for the first year, or dollar a month managed WordPress hosting, all comes with free domains again for the first year. Definitely check those offers out. And if you don't click on the code, copy the code when you get to the checkout counter. Make sure you lock in your savings. It is absolutely paramount that you do so. And again, I want to thank all of you for all your longtime support of the show. It is greatly appreciated. And thank you for supporting the sponsor for all these years. Okay, what is it I have in my short stack here tonight? My wife's mother is still with us. My wife had a hard stop. She had to be home today. She's got a starting of 2 weeks of training at Hawaiian Airlines. It was a tough decision by my wife to come home. She wants this job pretty bad. I don't know how this is all going to develop, but she flew in this morning. I picked her up at the airport and took her immediately. I mean, literally, she walked out of the customs immigration at like 7:50. I threw her bag in the back of the car. Where she had to go to Hawaiian Airlines was maybe a mile and a half away. I drove her over there, and I think she walked in with about 4 minutes to spare before her class started. So we got like five words in before, she's a zombie, so she is getting ready to crash right as we speak. But so we'll see what happens. But it's a tough thing, and I'm not changing my travel plans at this point. I'm still headed to the East Coast. I think we've made the decision just based upon everything that's going on. Likely will not go to the funeral. It's a hard one. It really, really is. And I think she hasn't completely made up her mind what we're doing up until it happens. Who knows? You know, the human body's pretty resilient. It can go up and down. But I think we're, you know, based on everything. And I talked to her mother barely yesterday. And you just can kind of tell. Anyway, tough gig at this point. And there's some circumstances and why she came home. Essentially, this is the second go around here. Just absolutely bad timing. But what life is life, right? I still have my two sons are at home. Chris is in eighth grade. Ray is second year in college. And, the boys will be boys, right? And literally 10 minutes before the show started tonight, I had to break up an argument over shampoo. And you know, basically the older one telling him, don't use my shampoo. And the younger one saying, I'm liking your shampoo. And I'm like, we'll just buy another bottle of shampoo. Oh man, I'm just, because I think what the little one does, a 12-year-old, I think he puts like five times as much as he should. He's at that stage right now. He wears his hair pretty short, and he was in trying to figure out how to have a new hairdo today. He was, using some gel and the hair dryer, and I'm, in hearing a, about 30 minutes of hair dryer running for hair that could dry out in about 60 seconds. And so anyway, yeah, he's at that stage, so making the transition. I'm sure he's being self, conscious of, the girls and all that stuff. So, oh man. Anyway, you guys don't want to hear about this. Let's go ahead and move into the tech tonight. I do have a good stack of stuff for you to talk about. All right. Everybody's on Facebook. Thanks for being here. And I think we've got pretty good. Let me look how many people are on YouTube. We got some folks on YouTube as well. Except my damn stream. What is going on? Says YouTube is buffering. It's just very aggravating. So maybe it's not a good experience on YouTube tonight. It's horrible. Okay, well, if you're on YouTube, come over to facebook.com/Cochran. All right. Okay, so let me close this, and this, and this. Make sure that we're ready to talk tech and not promotion and everything else. I'll close that. Close. Okay, leave that one open. All right. So, what I want to talk about tonight is, if you'll remember, a year or so ago, the OPM, actually, it was in 2014, the OPM got hacked big time with lots of government personnel's files, including my own, from when I was in the Navy. My security clearance paperwork, which was is an FSF-86, is the form number. Basically, everyone that ever has held a security clearance before, their paperwork got downloaded into some vast database, and now today, someone has as much information as anyone on me, friends, associates, family members, birth dates, social security numbers. I mean, it's we've talked about in the past how devastating that hack was, to the point where the CIA was worried about safety of their agents. All military members, all government employees have in their, basically, I mean, detailed data that goes, in many cases back 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years of information, and everything about your medical, financial situation. I mean, it's just everything. Yeah, because when they do these investigations we've talked about before, they turn your life inside out, and they do everything except do an anal probe. I remember when I was in active duty, to give you an example, I had started my business, and it was, a little unusual for a Navy guy to have a full-blown business while he was still active duty. And I, it was part of my update, part of my disclosure. I had to, tell all that. And they spent 4 or 5 hours at my accountant's office going through my books. And that was one of the reasons why, when I was active duty, that's why I had a CPA that did everything. He didn't pay the bills, but all the books went to him. And they took care of everything. I paid, because it was, I basically had to have the ability to stay transparent as possible. So it came of interest to me today. This was basically the OPM hacking report came out. And it appears that the OPM office was hacked twice. And it got so bad, they had as many as one in three of their servers and computers in their offices were infected with malware. These are government systems, which usually are as tight as a whistle, so tight that people could barely get their jobs done because they're locked down. But the OPM apparently didn't have that type of a mindset, even though that they have all the data, every federal employee, everything about that employee, how much they get paid, emergency information, all that is on their servers. So, you know, you look at down through this data, and there's just some eye-blowing, mind-blowing statements. And listen to this. The OPM personnel agency spent just $2 million in 2015 to prevent malicious cyber activity, while the Department of Agriculture doled out $39 million. The Department of Commerce, Education, and Labor also spent more in this area. They were analyzing software on a trial basis. When it ran out, they decided it was too expensive and didn't pay the licensing fee. $2 million. You know what the U.S. budget is? Do you understand how many trillions of dollars that is doled out to all of these departments? And the OPM spent I want to cuss on the show. I really do. I want to say the F word in a bad way, but they spent $2 million freaking dollars. That's it. To prevent malicious activity. In 2015. That statement alone is simply, after they've been hacked. One in three computers with malware on it, owned by an outside agency, person, foreign government, who knows. The second breach, get this. The second breach that they had that I don't think many of us heard about. The breach was discovered during a mid-April sales demonstration by a Virginia company called Cytec Services, which has a network forensic platform called CYFIR. Cytec, trying to show OPM how its security product worked, ran a diagnostic study on OPM's network and discovered this malware. The investigators believed that the hackers had been in the network for a year or more. Now, this is the company that the OPM then demoed and then didn't buy because they thought it was too expensive. I mean, what? What? Despite housing the personal information of thousands of government employees, including those with high-level security clearances, the OPM did not take security seriously, as it claimed it did. The Intercept points out that the OPM spent less money than most other government agencies on network security. OPM responded by saying the report does not effectively reflect the progress the agency's made since the hack. Republican Elijah Cummings, Democrat of Maryland, the ranking Democrat on the House Oversight Committee, insisted the report was flawed, in part because it failed to place blame on or otherwise account for the contractors involved in the agency's cybersecurity. They didn't spend any money, Senator, on cybersecurity. This report was put together by the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, a bipartisan committee of the House of Representatives. The damage done. This is Crown Jewels Materials, gold mine for foreign intelligence services. This is not the end of American human intelligence, but it's a significant blow. Joe Brenner, former NSA senior counsel. We cannot undo this damage. What is done and will take decades to fix. John Schneider, former NSA officer. The SF-86 gives you any kind of information that might be a threat to the employee security clearance. Jeff Neal, former Department of Homeland Security official. James Comey, director of the FBI. My SF-86 lists every place I've ever lived since I was 18, every foreign travel I've ever taken, all my family, their addresses. So it's just my identity. It's not just my identity that's affected. I've got siblings. I've got 5 kids. All of that is in there. Opium data remains a treasure trove of information that is available to the Chinese until the people represented by the information age off. There's no fix again. Michael Hayden, former director of the CIA. And we have an organization that gets millions and millions and millions in dollars, in budget dollars. And these SOBs spent $2 million only on cybersecurity in 2015, and yet the Department of Agriculture spent $37 million. I'm telling you, this should be an outrage. This should be an absolute outrage that every government employee, every taxpayer, what happens when the Social Security Administration is raided and all the Social Security, everyone pays Social Security in if you're a citizen of the United States. Wow, that camera just shut off. That's cool. All right, so why? You know, what happens next? What happens when we just, why don't we just all put our stuff up online, put all information up, you know, that way none of this, give our passwords away. It should make all of you angry. If you have a relative, you know, let's say you don't work for the government. Let's say you don't have someone in your family in the military. If you are 2 steps, in other words, if you are anyway across on a brother, sister, aunt, or uncle from anybody that's in government service that holds a social security clearance, your information has been shared. The Chinese have your information. Because when I, you know, fill out my SF-86 before, I had to list all my wife's brothers and sisters. I had to list my sister and her husband, you know. Didn't have to list their kids. No, actually, had to list their kids, too. $2 million. Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. So, call your congressman, call your rep, if you care. It's time to scream. And, you know, it just seems like every day, every single day, we continue to see the ongoing incompetence and lack of regard. And of course, you know, when Target's getting hacked and, you know, every other place is getting hacked, their credit card data and all this other stuff, you know, they're not alone. You know, they're not. You know, we get it. It's a hack a week, right? You know, okay, we can probably say the first time, oh, okay, you guys screwed up. Okay, you guys screwed up. This is bad. Let's fix it. And yet, a year later, they've only spent $2 million on security. Do you know what I spend on security for Blueberry? I'm just a little itty-bitty company. I bet you if we did comparisons in budgets on what their budget is and what my gross revenue is and did a ratio on how much they spent compared, I bet you I spent more on security from a, you know, direct ratio than the OPM did. blows my mind. They, you know, this is an enterprise product. But many of you are going to say, oh, that's $2 million. That's a lot, Todd. $2 million is like a rounding error for most of these groups' budgets. That's all they do is they do data. Data, that's it. It's just amazing. And then, you know, if you're a fan of Ted Cruz, okay, it's cool, you know. But today, Senator Ted Cruz is upping the ante in his fight to make the U.S. maintains control over the internet. Hey, Ted, while you were campaigning, this stuff was already signed away. He's meeting with conservative congressional leaders in an effort to block the U.S. Department of Congress from transferring its oversight of the domain name system for the internet, which is scheduled to happen on October 1st. He is threatening to include a rider in a government funding bill to block the transfer of oversight to an international body. The move could result in another showdown between Republicans and the White House that could threaten to shut the government down weeks before the U.S. election. Yeah, that'll help. Cruz, you know, where were you? Ted, maybe I missed it, but I don't remember you fighting for ICANN in the sell-off over the past, 3 years that this has been going on? Where you guys been? Little late, day late, dollar short. Okay, so you talk to Siri, right? Or you talk to whatever voice is that, if you're an Android user or Windows phone user, whatever. You've got your own, yeah, I got Cortana. Well, robots receive a scary, accurate new voice courtesy of Google DeepMind. And hopefully I can play this so you guys can hear this. This will flip you guys out. Let's see here. Do I have it linked? I'm going to play some here. I thought I had it linked up. Maybe it's the next article. Or maybe I didn't. All right, let's see here. I want to play one of these new voices for you. Okay, maybe right here. Let me see if this is it. No, that's not the article. I had it loaded, I swear to goodness. Because I want to play this for you guys. Okay, here we go. I think I can find it now. WaveNet. This is at deepmind.com/blog/WaveNet generator. And of course, it's being horribly slow to load. What else is new tonight? And let me go down here and see if I can play one of these over the speaker and see if you guys can hear. Okay, let me turn the volume up on this speaker and maybe, hopefully you guys can hear it. I don't have it patched in. Probably blow me away here.
Aspects of the Sublime in English Poetry and Painting, 1770 to 1850.
Here's another one.
Aspects of the Sublime in English Poetry and Painting, 1770 to 1850. Aspects of the Sublime in English Poetry and Painting, 1770 to 1850.
So, if you listen to that, and I listened to it 4 or 5 times, it is almost there. It's very straightforward. There's not a lot of expression and annotation, and, you know, it's pretty steady like someone's reading, but that voice is pretty good. So, I'll leave these linked up. So, what I want you guys to do is this experiment tonight, or today, whenever you've listened to the show, is I want you to go to this DeepMind link, and I want you to listen to those voices, and let me know what you think. Think if this, you know, does it sound like a human? If you are just, you know, if they get it a little bit further, you know, can you tell it's a computer versus a real person? So I have the link up for you in the show notes. Hey, Netflix is wanting to, basically, want you to be able to stream without any data caps and to limit low data caps on mobile devices. In a letter sent to the FCC last week, Netflix said that the commission should consider banning data caps on wired internet connections and banning low data caps on mobile connections. They go on to say data caps, especially low data caps and usage-based pricing, discourage a consumer's consumption of broadband and may impede the ability of some households to watch internet television in a manner and amount they would like. It argues that data caps on wired internet lines, like the home service provided by Comcast, do not appear to serve a legitimate purpose. They're an ineffective tool for managing network congestion, Netflix writes. Similarly, Netflix argues that usage-based pricing, that is, charging by the gigabyte, is meant simply to get more money out of consumers. Data caps and usage-based pricing raise the cost of using connections that consumers have paid for, making it more expensive to watch internet television, it said. I love it. So, we know Comcast has been running a number of trials that put data caps on people's in select cities. For a while, those caps were limited to people to 300 gigs, which was easy enough to hit. Then in April, bumped the caps to a more reasonable 1 terabyte. But with 4K video coming, and even though it's not super popular right now, 1 terabyte is, you know, nothing. It'll get ate up in a heartbeat. So, let you know, this is what Netflix is fighting for. Hey, one thing for everyone on the audio programming, I did have one complaint since I've removed the spit guard here, that you guys are from time to time hearing some audio artifacts. So I'd love to have an email from me if you're hearing stuff, if you're hearing, because once I get done processing the audio, I don't go back and listen to the whole show. So if you find a spot, just if you could write down the approximate time hack and send it to me, and I'll take a review. I may have to reinstall because I have a tendency to get a little close on the mic and I need to learn to stay off this thing. But that's causing some problems for some of you for audio. So just ping me back if you would and on how it is. And I'll take a shot at maybe having to put the spit guard back up. All right, of course, I want to talk just a little bit. And again, this is not supposed to be political, but I want to talk a little bit about the viral ability of, is that even a word? The viral nature of social media. You know, for many, many years, you think about politics. You go back to, let's just start with Kennedy. Then, you know, we go to Johnson, Nixon, walk through to Ford, Jimmy Carter. Then, of course, Ronald Reagan, you know, all the way through the succession of candidates and, you know, those that were, put in office after a resignation and an assassination. You look at that, but in up until not so just many few years ago, political campaigns were able really to control the message. As we see now with the presidential campaign, the press pools are being contained in roped off areas. You've got press pools at specific press people that travel with the candidates that often the candidates have vetted, and it's just a very controlled message on both sides. And the equalizer in this whole thing, in this, at least what I'm seeing in this campaign, is that everyone now has a camera on their cell phone. So every candidate wants their biggest moments on the campaign trail to go viral, right? Well, candidate Secretary Hillary Clinton, of course, the 9/11 situation where she was at the 9/11 memorial celebration, got recorded by someone that really likes her as a candidate. A 50-year-old Czech immigrant and Clinton supporter. He happened to be standing nearby where she was getting ready to get into her motorcade after she left the memorial early because of overheating. And I wasn't really paying attention to the news that day. I was watching on History Channel some of the the repeat, but I had my phone, and not my phone, but my tablet. I was actually just laying in bed and hanging out, and I saw something come across on Facebook that linked to the video that was shot of her as she stumbled or whatever happened to get into the car. And so I saw that, and I'm like, man, this is going to be all over the news. And I went to the news sites, and there was nothing. Nothing on the news. I was like, whoa. Social media just beat in a big, big way the new, I mean, scooped the new, it was all over Facebook. And it was all over Twitter, too. And so the video was taken at 9:32 a.m. Eastern. Now, I was still asleep Hawaii time, but I did get up pretty early that morning. It was picked up by a Fox reporter, retweeted about 5 minutes. Actually, it was just tweeted that she had left. And then it really took a couple of hours before the video actually made it onto Twitter. And then it started being retweeted by the pool, and by, you know, mid-afternoon, it was the leading story on every news site on the internet. And, but what was amazing to me was the time between the video being captured and when it really started making the news. There was a, you know, 2-3 hour separation before the news caught up to social media. Now, maybe because it was Sunday and, you know, they weren't understaffed or whatever. But it was really interesting to see that timeline. Now, it just goes to show you, being trigger ready and ready to capture something with your phone, you can be the person that breaks a story today. And of course, then all kinds of stuff started happening. Talking about a body double. That's the thing that's been going around today. Talking about something that fell out of her pant leg. And, you know, I even posted that up on Facebook, and some people think it was a video artifact or whatever. But, you know, it was just, for me at least, was watching the spiral and, you know, how it took off. Because they had left, this is what happened. They had left, they left the press people hanging. They kept them in their pen for 45 minutes and whisked her out and took her over to Chelsea's house and did whatever they did gave her a charge up of the battery or something. Who knows? But, you know, and of course they say she's sick and she's got pneumonia and probably should have been in bed. So, you know, we wish her, best wishes to get better. But, it just goes to show you what can happen with the social side these days on how stuff can break. As a example, in 2012, a private citizen caught Mitt Romney telling a crowd at a fundraiser that 47% of Americans are dependent on the government. But it took many months for that to break mainstream. So today we can just go record, we can even go live on Facebook, and then, or we can record it and push to YouTube. I mean, it's like, just click the button, it'll go up. There's nothing holding it back. So this is, I think, as we've seen, the democratization of news, hard for politicians to hide. They just have too many eyes on them, and then too many people with cell phones broke out and running a camera. I think that's good. I think that's good for democracy. If they're, you know, if either candidate's not willing to be forthcoming, we're going to find this information out ourselves. It's going to break on the internet. So anyway, I just thought it was cool that how it kind of how it broke down. All right, many of you know I've got solar panels on my roof. And have you been thinking about doing your own, doing a few? Well, the folks over at Engadget have a kind of a, not necessarily do it yourself, but it gives you some, you know, it's a discussion about putting solar, a few panels on your roof and the inverters and everything else. Believe me, solar panels are not difficult. It's the insulation that probably kicks people's butt the most. But if you can get a, you know, you can buy the panels on your own, you can buy the inverters, and then just hire a electrician and a crew to install it on your roof, someone that you can trust, a general contractor. If you feel real, you know, bold, you can probably do your own, but they talk about, you know, the converters they picked and the warranties and everything else, and how they basically did their install and saved some money. So I have that link up in your show notes. And I think everyone should have, you know, 4, 5, 6, and 10 panels, to be able to collect solar on their own and lower their electricity bill a little bit. MSI, the computer company, computer board company, and there I was too close to the mic again. They showed off at Computex just a few months ago, a reality backpack PC, and they've unveiled a new one. It's called the VR1. This is not going to be the prototype. This is the one that's going to come to market, and the official hardware is billed as the world's lightest and thinnest VR backpack, weighing in at 7.9 pounds. And has a longer battery life. You'll basically get about 90 minutes of VR use. So this is where I think what we're going to see as we move into the future. We're going to see these VR backpacks, because in order to go total, you know, you're wired up to your computer, but if you want to experience virtual reality without having, you know, the cables restricting where you go, I think we'll see a huge, huge amount of innovation as we move into the future, where this VR backpack will get smaller. And at some point down the road, and it may take us 20 years to get there, the VR headset will have the computer right in the headset. All that power will be, you know, miniaturized and move. But right now, that's not the case. So I think this is the area we should watch. It's a lot of money. You know, $2,000 or so for the VR headset, and then probably as much or more for the backpack. For a single-use thing, you have to be pretty independently wealthy to be able to spend $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 on a solution that allows you to walk around with a VR headset for 90 minutes without being, you know, really connected to cables that tether you to a desktop. Again, for the ultra geeky to buy, but this is where, once this barrier is busted down and this price comes down, we'll see some movement there. There's a good article over on the Register. Did you know on Android now, it is very, very difficult to get the build to stop tracking you? So many of us turn off location info, and I'm getting asked all the time for, please turn on location info. I'm making a search on Safari or whatever. You know, it's not just Android. It's everyone's asking for location info, and many apps are, and I go through and I make sure all the apps that don't need location info aren't getting it. But if you want to turn off Google Play or Google Maps from tracking you, Google goes hardball. They require you, if you try to turn off Google Play or Google Maps location information, they make you turn it off for everything. It's all or nothing. It's a little bit of a dirty trick by Google here. They don't want you to turn off location finding for Google Play and for Google Maps. As you know, Google Maps, I think most of us realize what we're getting there, but why does Google Play need to know where I am? It does. So a little bit dirty play by Google here in its tracking. So I think we have to keep an eye on this and start asking why and asking those questions publicly so that, you know, we let Google and other groups know we don't appreciate the ongoing location tracking. I'm going to share with you an image that came from Mars. Curiosity shot a really incredible picture if you look at this, it's to me, it's pretty epic here. You know, it's up on a ridge, and they are, Curiosity's kind of parked in an interesting location right now. They're up on Mount Sharp, and this is pretty cool. And I don't think there's a way forward where they're at right now, but definitely it just gives you a look of Mars. Now, every time I see Mars and all these rocks, I think a little bit about being a kid. And I'm going to tell you why. My grandfather had a cash crop farm, a significant acreage. And every spring, one of my jobs, and I can remember this starting when I was very, very young. I mean, very young. We would get on the tractor and we would drive across the field, and he had pulled a little trailer, and we would pick rocks in the field. Anything that was bigger than maybe 4 inches around. In those days, there wasn't a lot of chisel plowing going down. It was, they would plow the field, disc it, and amazingly, year after year, the amount of rocks that would be on the surface of that field would drive me absolutely crazy. I mean, for years, we would pick rock until, in Michigan, on my grandfather's farm, if you need rocks, I know where you can get multiple dump truck loads, and for free. Because I know where we dumped all those rocks. And, 10,000 years from now, some archaeologist is going to be in this corner of this field and they're going to be like, why is there 100,000 rocks here in this corner of this field or right here? What's the significance of these rock piles, not knowing that in primitive America, before they had chisel plows, that they were, farmers would go out and make their kids pick rocks off a field. And every time I see Mars, I'm like, thank God I don't have to be there and pick up rocks, because, oh my, that's all there is on Mars, rocks, lots of rocks. Oh gosh, the side stories, like, you guys care, right? Hubble's telescope has captured a jaw-dropping beauty of a nearby galaxy. A new image captured by Hubble's Space Telescope shows bright blue wisps of glowing gas and hot sparkling young stars within a satellite dwarf galaxy known as the Large Magellan Cloud. It's only 163,000 light years away. It's just right around the corner as the galaxy goes. And the image is 150 light years across. And pretty cool picture. So I have a new background for my computer. So I have that shared up for you in the show notes. It's just looking at some of these images that Hubble has produced over the years. It's really mind-blowing. It really, really is. Any of you that are Volkswagen drivers, boy, oh boy, you are associated with a company that has been so naughty. Volkswagen Dieselgate engineer is singing like a canary. Entire design team was in on it, not just a couple of bad apples. And this Volkswagen engineer has agreed to spill the details. And why? Because this gentleman is facing many years in jail. He's facing a $250,000 fine, and he faces a maximum of 5 years behind bars. And he's basically singing like a canary to try to keep his sentence from being 5 years. So this has been going on since 2006. And then models from 2009 to 2016 had these software mods to cheat the emission output. So the hits keep coming. How many more people at Volkswagen are going to go down before this is all over? They definitely are not in a good position right now. wouldn't want to be a Volkswagen dealership or salesman. Hey, you might be able to get a cheap car over there. That's another way to look at it. If you don't, you know, you go over there and just buy one because they're not selling any. An idea. Also, the moon. Well, scientists believe, based upon rocks that have come back from the Apollo years, feel that the collision that caused the moon, and they think that a Mars-sized body hit the planet. But they used to say, you know, just a portion of the Earth was affected. But they think that the Earth could have been about five times bigger than it was. And the this collision was a lot more explosive and damaging than what originally happened here. And because of the moon's size being so big, and with its orbital position, the dynamics that created the moon, they believe, was not just some gentle collision. It was something pretty massive. So they've come up with some new studies and theories here on what happened in the days of the moon getting formed. We think the moon is actually hollow, right? It's just some aliens brought that, and they're living inside the moon. You know, that's what conspiracy theorists think, because scientists say the moon appears to be hollow and not as dense as it should be. So anyway, that's, go look that one up on the internet. Just so you know, when people do fraud, you know, like over at Wells Fargo, like they got hit with their $165 million fine. Well, apparently some executive that is, was in charge of a lot of this, who is retiring at the end of the year, she's getting $124.6 million payday. Woo! Boy, fraud pays. $124.6 million payday. She's not going to jail. But yet 5,300 of her employees have gotten fired since 2011. Can you imagine making $124.6 million bonus for doing naughty stuff? The banking world is a whole different deal. You know, Univision bought Gawker, right? Well, the folks at Gizmodo are mad because Gizmodo is part now of Univision. So Univision's first act on acquiring the company was to delete six true and accurate news stories from the archive, because those stories had been a target of what is being claimed by Gizmodo, target of frivolous or malicious lawsuit, and the decision undermines the foundation of the ability of Gawker Media's employees to do our work. This is their complaining. The employees are. So they're condemning, the writers are condemning what their new owners are doing. Okay. So you got a new company, it's come in. They've deleted six articles because, quite frankly, they can't afford the lawsuits. And the people that work for the company are complaining about the takedowns of the media. And they're saying it sets an alarming precedent, both for our relationship with our new owners and business of journalism as a whole. Well, I'm going to tell you straight up. If one of my writers puts something up that's going to cause me to get a lawsuit, number first thing I'm going to do is I'm calling them and say, well, maybe we should reword to reduce the liability. That's the first thing I'm going to do. And if the writer of, you know, an article on Geek News Central refused to change the article, well, I'm going to do editorial privilege and remove the article. You know, that's an extreme. It's never going to happen at Geek News Central. My writers are fantastic. I think in the entire time we've had people writing at Geek News Central, maybe I sent one email, maybe one, saying, hey, maybe we should tweak this a little bit. So these folks are complaining about the takedown of these six articles. They're lucky they have a job. That company was on the verge of folding and going away. I don't know. It just seems a little odd to me. But They're all indignant. What do you guys think? Am I wrong? Are they right? Geeknews@gmail.com. Love to hear your comments on this. MIT's trying to come up with a way to read closed books. Yes. Did you know there's books out there that are so fragile that they don't even want them open anymore? So they're developing a radar using a terahertz signal because it has a finite wave that's able to detect a 20 micrometer air gap between pages, and they feel they're going to be able to scan those pages one by one, and they're going to come up with a letter interpretation algorithm to help make sense of any distorted or incomplete text. So they can't open the book, so they want to scan them with radar to be able to do so. So interesting concept. They're many years away from being able to do this, but they're working on it. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Okay. New Showtime, John McAfee, you know, he when he left Belize, it was definitely under interesting circumstances. Some suspected that John McAfee had his neighbor capped, in other words, shot and killed. But a new Showtime documentary accuses John McAfee of rape and involvement in two murders. So I guess they went back and talked to their security guards, talked to the employees, all kinds of, this is going to be a juicy piece on Showtime for sure. And John's not too happy about this video. So I'm definitely going to watch it and see what they have to say. I would not be surprised in the least, but McAfee's denied any allegations, accused the producer Burstein of paying locals for fabricated interviews. In an interview on Bloomberg Radio, McAfee called the documentary set to release on September 24th a fabrication. And check this out. Nevertheless, he told Bloomberg that with the release of this film, his situation is liable to get very interesting. Now, whose situation? His, the producer's, or McAfee's? I'd like to hear how he said that. So, yeah, we all know McAfee's a little bit wild and crazy, and maybe, in my opinion, cuckoo. He's been entertaining up to this point, but doesn't appear John was the complete good boy with his money in Belize. Seagate's been sued by their own staff over data theft. The data includes names and addresses and social security numbers was sent out in response to a phishing email. The fake message appeared to come from the firm's chief executive officer. The lawsuit alleges that the attackers already started to make use of the confidential data for fraud, but Seagate is contesting those claims. So customers said, hey, our data got out. Seagate's saying no. They're trying to sue for the right information. NVIDIA is paying the price as well. The GeForce GTX 970s had a big memory controversy. Literally, the GTX was claiming that through false, basically this lawsuit was over false advertising stemmed from a pair of hardware inconsistencies that prompted a not quite apology from the NVIDIA CEO. So basically it was all about memory size and processing throughput and all that. But all GTX 970 owners are going to get $30 each to settle a class action lawsuit. You can go to the GTX 970 refund website via the link on in the show notes. If you have a GTX 970, again, you're authorized $30 as compensation. GM has recalled 3.6 million cars for non-Takata airbag issues. So here are the vehicles. This is another recall, 2014-2016 Buick LaCrosse, Chevrolet SS, Chevrolet Spark EV, 2004-2017 Corvette, Chevy Trax, Chevrolet Caprice PPV, Silverado 1500, Buick Encore, and the GMC Sierra 1500. The 2015-2017 Chevy Tahoe, Suburban, Silverado HD, GMC Yukon, GM Yukon XL, GMC Sierra HD, Cadillac Escalade, and the Cadillac Escalade ESV. I love the ESV. If you have one of those cars, you've got an airbag issue, and you are subject to a recall. Nissan has also recalled 134,000 vehicles for engine fires. Nissan recalled about the 2016-2017 Maxima, the 2015-2017 Murano, and the 2015-2016 Murano Hybrid. So these only include in the recall if they contain the Nissan Intelligent Cruise Control, which is its fancy name for adaptive cruise. So if you have one of those vehicles, link will be up in the show notes. And by the way, I've been getting emails from folks saying, thank you for informing me about the recall. A couple of you have been able to get in the dealers early and be able to get services, not waiting for the service recall information to come via mail, blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, that's a added value for listening to Geek News Central. Researchers are warning that hackers can denial of service 911 emergency phone services. Matter of fact, there was a big denial of services service operator taken down out of Israel. Two teens who reportedly made over $1 million doing denial of service attacks on websites. So they've been arrested by the Israeli authorities, and their denial of service system has been taken down. But in this threat assessment, the researchers said that it would take less than 6,000 bots or $100,000 in hardware for attackers to block emergency service in an entire state for many, many days. So this is basically a denial of service attack that could affect 9/11. So again, 9/11 emergency services, if you are work in the 9/11 at all, you definitely want to inform your IT guy about this so that you can start working with your vendors to patch things up. If you're a Tesla owner, they get the free Autopilot 8.0 update, shifts focus to radar to avoid car crashes. So this is a software update to its Autopilot feature designed, again, to prevent accidents like the one that resulted in the death of a Tesla owner, Joshua Brown, in May. The new update will employ radar as a primary signal processing component in addition to visual image recognition via the car's cameras. Tesla warns drivers they should never take their hands off the vehicle while even in autopilot mode. Right. But previously, Tesla used its radar hardware only as a supplementary component. The radar system is only good at identifying metallic objects, but could misinterpret actual size of these items. Radar left to its own device could therefore interpret numerous false alarms and engage the brakes unnecessarily. So, yes, radar, it reflects off metal, goes through humans. So, that's just what we need. A lot of radars running on the highway. I wonder what the radiation hazard is for all of us. Thousands of Seagate network attack storage boxes host cryptocurrency mining malware. So, if you have a publicly accessible FTP server, specifically running Seagate on a Seagate network attached storage device, you may want to be pay attention here. They've got basically something called Malminer, and basically what it does, it automatically infects these boxes and then mines for bitcoins and that type of stuff. It uses the hardware processing power of the box and your electricity to be able to score, you know, cryptocurrency being produced via these devices. Artificial intelligence, this is crazy, can now recognize your face even if it's been pixelated in a picture. So they taught a computer to identify someone even with your face pixelated. Same goes with license plates and text. They've been able to determine text and actual license plate numbers even though it was pixelated. So soon it'll be, we'll just have a big black blob on top of stuff that they need to put some security around. Many cities are, you know, in Honolulu included, has a huge mass transit system, but mass transit is starting to embrace electric buses. So currently there have been about, let's see how many here. Not a lot of buses, because these electric buses cost $800,000. And they'll go about between 190 and 350 miles on a charge. These buses are currently in 10 cities and has sold more than 312 vehicles to 35 different municipal, university, and commercial transit agencies in North America. So it might be too long. You might be riding on an electric bus, which would be cool, considering most of them are nasty, smoky, dirty things, and oftentimes in cities. Department of Justice research, First Amendment does not protect violating web terms of service. So there's this thing called the CFAA. The Computer Fraud and Abuse Act is a law that was passed by the U.S. Congress in 1986 to reduce the hacking and cracking of government or other sensitive institutional systems. And what they're basically saying is as a group of scientists have preemptively, based upon a hypothetical incident, has sued the Department of Justice, saying, we don't want to do this because it could lead to us being prosecuted. So we want to make sure that we can do this, or we're going to sue you to see if it'll actually, if we're going to be protected or not. In the end, what's happened here, or not in the end yet, but the Department of Justice that came back and say, hey, you're trying to sue us on something imaginary. You can't do that. So anyway, at this point, it's still in the courts. This is a little bit of a complicated lawsuit. Very complicated about what these scientists are trying to do. So basically, Department of Justice is being suggested to rewrite the CFAA to kind of to clean the language up. But we don't know where this is going to lead. But it's basically about a site's terms of service. Could be a white hat hacker that's trying to find a vulnerability. You know, a variety of different things that they can and cannot do on websites, and without risk prosecution themselves for doing it. Time is running a streaming TV network. They're not going to put a lot on it. 15 original series. So it's going to include, let's see here, People, Entertainment Weekly. Oh, give me a break. Who else is going to be on here? Is Conan? Doesn't say. PN is designed for network feature with its premium long-form video delivered directly to consumers through multiple platforms and channels. The online network is going to be available for streaming on platforms on Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Google Chromecast. It's going to start with 50 hours of existing program, including the Emmy-nominated documentary series A Year in Space. They're going to roll out 300 hours of new programming throughout the year. That's not a lot, considering what they're trying to do here. Yeah, they're going to have Jimmy Kimmel, Patrick Dempsey, and rock and content from Roy Feek as well. So, anyway, I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Oh, there's that. All right. Jeff Bezos says Blue Origin is basically competing with SpaceX here. They've rolled out something called the New Glenn. This is a massive three-stage monster, 313 feet tall. It's almost as tall as the Saturn V, which was 363 feet long. This will be, when constructed, the most powerful rocket on Earth. The New Glenn's main rocket booster will be recoupled and capable of landing back on Earth, just like we've seen with SpaceX Falcon 9. And it will be able to generate 3.85 million pounds of thrust, compared to the 2.1 million pounds generated by the United Launch Alliance Delta IV Heavy, which is the current champion. So definitely looking to go after ULA and compete against SpaceX. And SpaceX remains puzzled on why their rocket blew up on the pad. They haven't figured out anything yet. Hey, Twitter's new longer tweets are coming. Won't be long. September 19th, they're rolling out a whole bunch of stuff. So what's going to happen is your 140-character limit is not going to be counted against you for images, GIFs, videos, polls, the at name of the person maybe that you're responding to, so basically they're going to give you a whole lot more room to tweet and not make stuff take up characters. So this is cool. And they don't know if they're going to roll out all at once or little by little. But anyway, that's happening on next Monday. You all know that here in the next year, the the dietary guidelines are going to be updated on all packaging, and it's a big change for the sugar listing. But back in the 60s, a sugar industry executive wrote fat checks to a group of Harvard researchers so that they could downplay the links between sugar and heart disease in a prominent medical journal. And the researchers did it according to historical documents reported Monday in the Journal of Internal Medicine, JAMA. One of those Harvard researchers went on to become the head of the nutrition at the United States Department of Agriculture, where he set the stage for the federal government's current dietary guidelines. Total pay to play. All in all, the corrupted researcher and skewed scientific literature successfully helped draw attention away from the health risk of sugar and the shifts to blame solely to fats. For nearly five decades, low-fat, high-sugar diets that experts subsequently encourage are now seen as the main driver of the current obesity epidemic. So what's going to happen here in the next year is the amount of sugar that is being, it's going to be a percentage. It's going to show you how much of your daily allowance of sugar is being consumed, and that it's if you look at your packaging now, it's much different. So we're going to see some big changes coming to the dietary label on stuff, and the sugar industry is not happy about it because they know they're going to get hammered big time for as consumers start looking at this data. And this is a big reason why a lot of the companies are reformulating their products to reduce the amount of sugar that's in it and still make it taste good. So it's a win for all of us. Hey, Google Note 7 explosion sends Samsung shares into a $26 billion nosedive. Incredible. $26 billion off a company's bottom line because of these Google Note 7's explosions. Also, HP is going to buy Samsung's printer business for $1.05 billion. I have to say I'm a big of HP stuff right now. I'm a big fan of their printers. They just have had good luck with HP printers over the years. So I'm not too familiar with Samsung's line of printers, so we'll have to see how the merge goes. Also, if you have a jailbroke iPhone or you use an alternate build for your Android device, be very, very careful on some of those alternative basically app areas. There's a lot of Pokemon Go apps that are actually containing payloads if you're not getting them from Google Play or for the official iTunes store. So just be careful when you're out there if you're running on alternative stuff. Also, hey, someone has already figured it out. They figured out that those earbuds, those wireless earbuds that we're all going to lose if we buy them, the Bluetooth ones, that cost $169. Now, someone's figured out how to solve the situation with those potentially dropping between the seat and the car or bouncing out of your ear. They come up with a strap. So it's going to be a $10 item, and they're going to sell millions of these. Yes, they are. They're going to sell a lot. So if you're going to plan to make the move to Bluetooth, you're going to buy the Bluetooth earbuds. Got to wait for you to make sure that you don't lose them, so that you don't have to buy four pairs right at the very beginning because you drop between the seats or wherever they go. Very, very cool article over on io9. You may never see a better video than Mad Max Fury Road without special effects. So they've got some shots of before the CG was put in. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to take a peek at. And kind of some weird news here over on coasttocoast.am. Again, SpaceX is stumped by the mysterious rocket explosion. They're still trying to figure it out. Also, there's those of you in the UK, be on the lookout. There's a Bigfoot out there. So Bigfoot was filmed in the UK for the very first time. He swam across the Atlantic Ocean and made it to the UK. Or maybe he trekked through Canada and went to, Greenland or whatever, however he got across. But apparently there's a Bigfoot now in the UK. Dozens of birds mysteriously died, fell out of the air in Massachusetts. So 47 birds littered the ground in a neighborhood where the strange event took place. And so something affected them, some sort of emission. And also, there's a really cool video you know, people like to steal political signs now. And so homeowners are becoming very creative in trying to prevent their signs from being stolen. So someone wasn't happy with a Trump sign in someone's yard. But this ingenious homeowner devised a plan to foil the would-be bandit. So I'll just watch the video. You'll get a little kick out of it yourself, and I'll leave it at that. Let me see if we've got anything that's come in here. No. So we're gonna wrap. I did pretty good. I got us to. Whoa, I'm over. I think. A little bit. So I hope you had a good time with me tonight. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Those of you on YouTube, I don't know if the stream cleaned up or not. Let me look. Yeah, it sucks. Something happened tonight. Bandwidth here is horrible. But anyway, thanks for hanging out with me. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address to send your comments to. Love to hear your feedback. And for the folks on Facebook, Rita and everyone else that hung out late with me, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to bounce out and get the show up and produced and then hit the rack. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Center podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.